Welcome to episode 4 of Living with Blindness, a program recorded in the studios of the Youngstown Radio Reading Service, a department of Youngstown Area Goodwill Industries. And with me now to introduce our special guest is Mr. Mike Bosella. Mike, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, Mike. Thank you, sir. How about you?
Very good. Very good. Looking forward to this program.
Oh, I have been too. We're gonna squeeze it in. And our special guest is Mr. Alex Budrovich. Budrovich, as he says. But welcome to the program, Alex.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And get a little bit on that mic. You're familiar with a microphone.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, Alex was with us when we did our initial show. That was, what, 3-4 shows ago, the first show. All 5 of us were on that program. And since then, we're taking each individual, Otha and Larry and now Alex, and talking to them a little bit more in depth about, you know, what they've gone through and how their journey has brought them to this point and us doing these programs, the podcast. As I've been saying, Alex, we talked about this off the air too. We're hoping that, you know, what we're doing in these programs and sharing our life stories and how we dealt with obstacles and things that have happened to us in life, that it helps someone out there. That's our main goal and truly what we're trying to do. And by giving them examples or suggestions or being open to whatever they have to contact us. So, but anyway, I want to talk to you about, I've known you for a long time, and maybe you don't remember when I first met you, but talk about yourself. You grew up on the west side, right?
Yes.
Go ahead. And you're 54 years old.
Yeah, I just turned 54. Grew up on the west side, graduated Cheney in 1984. Was supposed to go to the Army, but they found out I had low blood sugar and said I wasn't allowed to go.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were. I guess some people that have low blood sugar, they, you know, if they don't watch their diet, what have you, they can have a tendency to, you know, get dizzy, pass out, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
And that's not the kind of thing that they wanted, you know, when you're going through basic training, handling a weapon and what have you. I was all the way up in Cleveland doing my physical when they found out, and my recruiter tried to get them to, you know, let me go. He says, you know, let him go, let him do basics. If there's no problem, let him finish. And they said no.
No. Nope. Huh. Yep. You know, is that something that's plagued you the rest of your life since you were 18, 20 years old, low blood sugar?
Now, you know what? It's one of those things, you know how they say every, your body changes every 7 to 10 years,
yes.
You know. As a kid, I had no problems, but around about the time I was 13, 14, I was just, you know, constantly tired, sluggish, couldn't sleep right. There was a period of time when I was awake for, you know, 2-3 days at a pop.
Oh, goodness.
And it just had to do with my blood sugar or what have you. So I still have to watch now, but, you know, I'm not going to go so hardcore at it that, you know, I don't enjoy going out and eating and what have you because, you know, can't eat this, can't drink that. I can't live like that.
Okay. I got you. Yeah. You know, if something serious happens, you're going to attend to it. You're not going to be ignoring it. But I understand what you're saying. You want to live your life the way you are now as long as you can.
Right.
You know? But anyway, interesting. I didn't know that about you. But, you know, you grew up, you got jobs around here. And tell us about, you had an industrial accident, you know, that caused you to lose your sight.
I was working out at Central Transport on Bailey Road and had an accident with a tow motor and basically busted my face all up from pretty much my jawbone up, cracked the roof of my mouth, busted my nose, cracked my forehead, my right eye is glass, my left eye is mine. But when all the bones got broke, they severed the optic nerve. And that was the end of that. When I was in the hospital for the first 3 or 4 days, they were going to write me off. They said, there ain't no way he's going to make. He's probably going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And around about the 4th day, one of the nurses that was there went to school with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him, don't worry, he's going to come out of this.
Mm.
And I did. They had to keep me in a chemical coma for about 9 days.
Did they?
Yeah. And then, when I woke up, my mother says, do you know how long you've been here? And I said, well, what day is it? And she said, Saturday. And I said, well, I went to work Thursday. It's Saturday. I've been here, 2 days? She said, no, you've already been here a week.
Mm. How about that?
And I was like, oh, okay. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened, and then you have to try to adapt to life after that. And one day you could see on that Thursday when you went to work, and after the accident, 9 days later when you became conscious out of the chemical coma, you couldn't see, and there was a lot of other damage to you. Talk about your feelings then. You probably were scared.
It was different. I was more or less kind of keeping an optimistic look on it that, okay, this is the way it is for now, but they'll be able to fix it in a few years.
Okay.
So I was kind of hanging on to that.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Absolutely. I did the same thing when I lost my sight. I thought, mm-hmm. they'll come up, medicine, right? It'll come.
Yes, right. Some kind of surgery,
yep,
or something.
I gotcha.
That hasn't panned out. But, thank God for my family and yep. the friends that I have. I have, a good family. I have really, really good friends, guys that are stand behind me, 100%. If I need them, they're there. Some of these guys, they'll be at work. They'll leave work if I tell them, dude, I need you right now. Mm-hmm. They'll leave work if they have to.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a reflection on you and how, people feel about you, because you feel that way about them, I'm sure. Whatever you could do, if they called upon you, you'd drop everything, wouldn't you?
Well, certainly. I don't know about you, Mike, but I live under the rule, you treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
And that's where I'm at. I try to be a good friend to my good friends, because they are.
Yep. Exactly. And I'll say this, I've known your mom. She read at the Youngstown Radio Reading Service back in the 80s and got to know her. And I know if there's anybody that's going to be an advocate for their children, and especially you after your accident, she's a bulldog. She got everything that you deserved and everything you needed. And your dad was a good guy, too. So, like you say, you have a great family, and they helped you through the whole crisis and, getting to adapt to it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. For the most part, like I said, my friends and my family is what pretty much, carried me through, and my beliefs, you go through, like you said, your trials and tribulations, you live and you learn. When you comes to an obstacle, it's like, okay, what do I do to overcome this obstacle? Mm-hmm. Some people, they would rather, just stay at home, curl up and die, do nothing. I can't roll like that. Mm-hmm. I got to get up. I got to do my thing. And if it means that day I can't do what I want, when I want, the way that I want, well, then I'll find something else to do. I'm not just going to sit there and do nothing about it. Let it ruin my day.
Mm. Exactly. And you have to come to that decision. The whole thrust of this, when people asked us to do these podcasts was to, living with blindness. Okay. And we're trying to share our feelings and, our ways of doing things, our attitude. It's something you have to work on. I don't want people to accept, as you're saying, Alex, that's a waste to me that they want to stay at home. Everybody has some value. And so that's what we're trying to do. If someone hears this, this is going to go out throughout the world. It's a little humbling. This internet program that we're on, it's going to be shared. The podcast, they're going to hear. We might hear somebody from, I don't know, Seoul, Korea, that's blind, that, is feeling that, has feelings of despair, give up, I'm worthless, those type of things. They might hear this and they'll be able to communicate with us, and hopefully our words, help them at least to get them off the schneid, right? Get going.
Well, sure. Even the people who are already blind, maybe they've run across something to where if that we're talking about, and we can enlighten them on that, where, it's like, hey, dude, you're not the only one. We've been there. We've had to overcome that same thing. Maybe help him out. And if not, hopefully with the topics that we will discuss, you know, we could help people who are that have just lost their sight or about to, you know, make an easier transition, you know, into living life blind and the stuff that they're going to have to face day after day.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, Living with Blindness, the name of the program, as we just heard from Alex, you're especially lucky. I know something, you know, your family is very dear to your heart. You were able to get married. You had a lovely daughter. And I'll tell you this right now, Alex, I really admire you. You know, I've never met her, but I know I've heard good things about her. You basically, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you and the wife, talk about that. You broke up, but you single-handedly, with the help of all your family, raised her, and she's turned out to be a great, great adult.
Oh, yeah, and especially like out where we were living at the time, we used to live out at Berlin on the Lake.
Yes.
And my neighbors on Hawthorne really took her in as their child. She was like, you know, she was one of those children that was raised by the village. You know, they all watched out for her, and you know, they took care of her, and I really never had to worry, because I knew if I wasn't around that there was a ton of eyeballs on that child, so you know, they weren't going to let her get in any kind of trouble.
Yeah, that's nice. That's the way it used to be in the old days when people grew up in the neighborhoods and everybody watched out for the kid when, you know, if your parent wasn't able to, you know, others were had eyeballs on you, as you said. So that was, you know, and you're the type of person, and I'm sure Haley is too, that's the name of your daughter.
Yes.
You brought that upon yourselves. You were good neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Again, you were good people that they wanted to do that for you, not just because you were blind and they felt sorry for you. It's because you were a member of their community.
Oh yeah, well, and I think some of you know how you when you meet you know certain people, they're just that kind of person. You know, some of my neighbors, especially Walt and Joni, Michelle Jones, John and Kathy. These people, you could tell that no matter what the scenario would have been, they're just those kind of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were blessed to do that, and you've raised her, and now she is married. And talk about your lovely granddaughter.
My daughter Haley got married to a lovely young gentleman, Andrew John Tony. Love him to death. And they had my granddaughter, Molly, who is just the world to me now. I mean, you know, I wake up in the morning and all she has to do is hear my bedroom door squeak. And she's going, Poppy, Poppy, Poppy. And I'm like, all right, let me have my coffee. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's what a great environment for you to be living with your daughter and son-in-law and your granddaughter. You just can't beat it.
Oh, no. No, yep. I said, I get up every day, do my regular stuff. But, you know, when I have the chances, you know, because of them working and Molly J going to, you know, daycare or what have you,
yep,
when she is home,
yep,
you know, I just love, yep, being with her, playing with her, doing stuff. I mean, she's just a joy to be around. I mean, yeah, she's a 2-year-old. She'll get cranky, she'll get fussy,
sure,
but you know what, just to touch that child, to hold her, to have her fall asleep on my shoulder, that's just a feeling that you never forget. Yep. Never.
Well, you know, we'll talk more about that with child rearing while you're blind, which you essentially did, you know, with the help of the village, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll talk more about that in other programs. But let's get focused back on you now. What are some of the things after, you know, a couple of years when the surgeries didn't happen, as it happened to me, you know, they didn't come along, you know, we kind of like faded over to like, well, let's look at life and see what we're going to do. I know you got a lot of training on the computer a couple times, and here's something else I wanted to ask you. Were you a musician before you had your accident and went blind, or did you take up wanting to fulfill that dream being a musician afterwards?
No, I started when I was 5 years old playing the accordion.
Oh, yeah. Were you in a polka band?
No, this was way before Weird Al.
Okay. I got it.
And then I transitioned into drums when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to play more bass, and all my buds are like, dude, why you want to play bass? You're an excellent drummer. Well, after so many years of, set them up, tear them down, set them up, tear them down, that gets old, man.
You didn't have a roadie. if you had a roadie, that'd be a different story, right?
Exactly. Okay. And then, of course, you can always go with just the harmonica, stick it in your pocket and out the door you go.
Yep, that's true. Do a lot of Bob Dylan, huh?
Yeah, that Dylan at John Popper and, Blues Traveler, there's, if you could seriously blow a harp, there's a lot of avenues you could pursue.
Mm. All right, so I didn't know yet you had that, you were a musician into drums and, accordions and stuff like that before the accident. But after the accident, after a couple of years, you focused on that and, hooked up with some friends and you created bands, didn't you? Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I've been in and out of several bands. Started in the late 80s doing country, which I didn't know much country, so had to fake a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the classic rock and the oldies, what have you, that came pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I've played with bands like Saddle Tramp and Desperado, and one of the bands I'm kind of still in contact with now, we may book some gigs, is Bob Davis and the Syndicate.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff Spencer, usually, if Jeff is doing something and he needs a drummer, I'm usually his go-to guy, because Jeff knows, hey, if you're playing something, especially, a benefit, if the cause is good, if it's real, I'm down with it.
Yep. You want to give back.
Right. I'll go, I'll play, and as far as like just playing out in the bars or whatever, my theory is, hey, you're paying, I'm playing.
There you go. Well, let me ask you this. Was there ever any doubt in your mind that you would be able to do what you did after the accident, even though you were familiar with drums and accordions and instruments? Was there ever any doubt that, since I can't see now, did that ever creep into your mind?
No, with the drums, I had no fear.
Okay.
It's like riding a bike. I went home, immediately started playing.
Okay.
The bass, I didn't start until after my accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was right out of the gate, I bought a cheapie because I figured I'm not going to spend big money if I can't do this.
Sure.
You don't take three piano lessons and go out and buy a baby grand. So I bought a cheapie and I started plunking around. I had some of my friends showing me this and that and, getting the hang of it. And then I did start taking private lessons for a while. And now it's to the point where, if I want to learn a song, I'll listen to it, try and get it down as much as I can myself. If it's an issue, I'll usually ask one of my friends that can see, what are the notes on that? Or, go online and look up the guitar tabs because I'm not sure if I'm nailing this right.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll usually help me through. I mean, I'm no John Entwistle, but I get the job done.
Ah, I'm glad you used that example from the Who, the great bassist, John Entwistle. What a guy.
One of my faves.
Oh, yeah. Mike Peters, too. Mike Peters' fave.
My ears are perking up.
There you go. Yeah.
He saw him in person up in upstate New York. Did you ever get a chance to see him in person, Alex?
Yeah. I saw the Who back in the late 80s when they did their reunion tour at the old Cleveland football stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. And another great one I saw was Stu Hamm. He was playing bass with Joe Satriani.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's killer. Mm-hmm. He's a killer.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, taking on that new stringed instrument, that was more of a challenge. You know what I mean? I don't think it mattered that you didn't have your sight then, right? With, attempting to play an instrument. Did you ever doubt yourself that was it difficult at any time, or did you roll right into it?
Oh no, it was tricky right out of the gate because because I had never played any type of guitar or whatever. So I was starting from ground zero. Now, now on Thursdays I've been taking ukulele lessons here at Goodwill, and other people are welcome to give it a shot. Some of the chords on the uke are pretty easy, 2-3 fingers, not a problem. Some of the others, it might take me a month of Sundays. I may never get them down at all because some of the chords can be pretty tricky as far as fingering.
Yeah, you showed me one example with my fingers, and I just don't know how anybody could do anything dexterous with the way you showed me how you had to spread out your fingers. So if you can champion that, I think you got it. I don't know if you will, but I hope you do.
I won't give up because so far I'm having fun with it, and if it gets to the point where physically I can only do so many chords, well, then I'll just learn as many songs as I can with those chords. Mm-hmm. The ones that I can't get down, just have to skip it.
Oh, yeah, I got you. I wanted to bring that up. I admire you, with your tenacity with that, sticking with it. Let's switch here toward the end of the program a little bit how you came to come up to the Youngstown area Goodwill Industries. Talk a little bit about that and how many years you've been here and, what it's meant to you.
Well, I've been here about 3. Mm-hmm. And how I ended up getting here was I was at home and I wanted to do something just to keep busy and, put a couple extra bucks in my pocket because, there's only so much TV you can watch in a day.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
And I was going to try and do something at home on a computer. And, I started learning the computer stuff. But there's really not a ton of jobs out there, especially when you're on a computer, when it decides to go on the fritz, if there's not somebody there to tell you when the screen locks up, what have you, if there's not somebody there to either tell you what it's doing or assist you in straightening it out, then your only option is shut the computer down, turn it back on, reboot it, and start over.
Yeah.
So that was kind of tricky. So I set that aside for a while. And then I was talking to Gary Dodrill, who has passed away since then.
Yes.
And he's the one that said, hey, well, we're going to send you to Goodwill and do the, job evaluation, what have you. And I did that. And they decided to keep me on here, which I am very thankful for. And I, started in textiles, hanging clothes up to the stores.
Yes.
Then they had me working in contracts, doing different contract work. They had stripping chairs and making electrical connectors. And now they decided to move me, Larry, and Otha onto the radio reading, which I'm really digging because, whether I stay here and this pans out or maybe go somewhere else to another station and do something at a station, it's a whole lot better than sitting at home doing nothing.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot of good things that happen to you on the way. You make new friends, you meet people, you enjoy the time, when you're up here. At least, I know I do, and I know you do too. You love talking to people. You like to hear their stories and share your stories with them.
Oh, God.
It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. But, and the most interesting, the thing I'm curious about, people ask me, what would you do if you ever got your sight back? Well, first thing I would do after I got up off of my knees, thanking God that I could see again.
Yes.
I would like to round up all the people that I have met after my accident and tell everybody, okay, don't say nothing. And I'd like to be able to see if I can point out who's who.
Oh, really?
Yes, without them talking.
Yeah, without their hearing their voice. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, because my guess, if I could see what I was doing and I was just breezing through the Southern Park Mall, I'd probably walk right past 80% of them.
Yeah, oh, for sure, absolutely. That's kind of a neat wish to have, if that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. mention Gary Dodger. May he rest in peace. What a great guy. He worked for the Bureau of Services for the Visually Impaired under OOD, Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities, and Gary helped so many people. It was just so sad, you know, that he passed away, but he really helped out a lot of people, and that's what we want to do, Alex.
Oh,
we're hoping this program, that we could carry on what he wanted to do. It was a job for him, but it was more than just an occupation. It was his, you know, really his dream. He's just an easygoing guy, and I guess, you know, you knew him beforehand, right? I mean, he worked with your dad.
Yeah, he worked at St. E's in security.
Yeah, in security. So, I don't know. He was so soft-spoken, I couldn't see him yelling at anybody in security. After you told me that, you know, he'd say, really, hey, excuse me, you know, you can't do that. You'll have to leave the building.
Well, you know, Mike, it's like they say, it's the quiet ones that you have to worry about.
Yeah, I guess. He did the job. I'm sure he did it well. And you've done the job well here today. We're going to check with Mike and see what kind of time we're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, we've reached about the end, Mike. Your internal clock is very good.
Ah, well, that's after years of honing it. But Mike, I've enjoyed this with Alex Budrovich, and we wanted to take each of the members of our group, Alex, Otha, and Larry, and talk to them individually to get more of their story. And we're all going to join in on topics that we all come up with, Alex, that we deal with: transportation, raising children, child rearing when you're blind, living with blindness, and anything you guys can come up with. So we kind of like kick it off. This is like our, you know, fourth interview, Mike. Fourth
exactly.
program.
Exactly.
So yeah, we've touched base with everybody. Now we're going to start doing some topics and devoting a whole 25 minutes to a topic and our take on it, Alex. So be thinking, you know, get those cross wires going in that brain of yours.
And like you said, hopefully people who are listening, if they're having a problem with whatever, hopefully they can contact us and say,
yep,
you know, hey, such and such this, such and such that, you know, what should I do? Where should I go? You know, who can help me with this problem? And, you know, maybe somebody here can enlighten them,
yep,
with whatever their situation is.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, any three of you, any all five of us, you know, can, you know, we're going to make sure they get to the right place. And Mike's going to tell them how they can, you know, by listening to the podcast here, Mike's going to give them some info to get them in touch with us if they want to.
Certainly.
Yep, I have that now. And you know, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us, Mike. And you take care. We'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks to both Alex and Mike. And as they said, for contacting us, we do have some information for you for that. We are Youngstown Area Goodwill Industries, and we are the Youngstown Radio Reading Service. We're at 2747 Belmont Avenue in Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. The website is www.goodwillyoungstown.org, and the direct number for radio reading is 330-759-0100. The main number for Goodwill Industries in Youngstown is 330-759-7921. That does conclude this program. For Alex Budrovich and Mike Bosella, I'm Mike Muter, and thanks for listening to Episode 4 of Living with Blindness.